Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day, everybody in Brevard County listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE. Okay, get ready. A pucker up. It is time to kiss November goodbye today. This is the last one, and I pray that you've had a great month. I know it's been a season of transition for some and in my extended family, and we're thankful for what God has been doing in their situation. We've got some challenging days ahead, but we are so thankful that we serve a good, good God and that he sits upon the throne. So today we're going to go back to Psalm 25. And we're going to pick up. We're going to start reading in verse number 8 down through verse number 14, but we're going to start our lesson today. We're going to pick it back up with verse number 9. So I'm just making myself a note there while I'm talking and doing multiple things. Let's look at verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So the spiritual truth we've been looking at thus far is good and upright is the Lord. Then we went on and we talked about, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. Now we're looking at this, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. What I want to share with you right off the bat, and this is what I was writing down here at the last minute, is that a lot of times people are humbled by their failures. A lot of times people are humbled by their inadequacies. Many times they're humbled when they compare themselves with other people. And it's kind of it's almost a humiliation type aspect. Now I will tell you there are two options. Either one, we can humble ourselves, or two, we can allow God to humble us in a very humiliating fashion. I encourage you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. But literally, right before we came on the air, as I was preparing for this, was what a different perspective that godly humility is. Because the focus of my humility is not my inadequacies, it's not my failures and my shortcomings, it's not, you know, that I don't measure up to somebody else. For a believer, humility comes from the incredible goodness of God. There's a lot of people, they say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have this conversation, and I'm going to inform God of how, I'm going to teach him what it was like to be human. No, that's not it at all. You see, every person, when they get to heaven and they encounter Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in the beauty of his holiness, when they behold his goodness, his righteousness, his truth, and his justice, when they behold him as he truly is, we will all be humbled by his goodness. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the reality. So in his goodness, we are humbled, but because of that humility, he is able to guide us. He is able to teach us his way. Okay? So let me take you to Psalm 117 just a minute. We're going to come back there to Psalm 25. But in Psalm 117, in verse number 1, we're going to read a passage there, and then we're going to come back to Psalm 125. Psalm 117, shortest chapter in the Bible. Okay? Two verses. So we're going to read the whole chapter. Buckle up. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. See, what I want you to see is that God's mercy is great. And in his merciful kindness to us, he allows us to be taught, allows us to be guided, and to behold the reality that the truth of the Lord endures forever. His lordship is not going to have a beginning and an end. His lordship is never going to be overpowered. There's never going to be a coup or anything of that nature. The truth of the Lord endures forever. So, just while I'm here for just a moment, there's a scripture in Nehemiah that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? Now, there's two different aspects of that. The first aspect is this, that the Lord provides joy for people. He is the source of joy. It is also the fact that there is joy in his lordship. There is joy in my life because Jesus Christ is Lord. There is joy because God is good. And so there are a lot of benefits that are available to us, such as being guided and being taught because God is good and he teaches us. So in this passage that we have been looking at in Psalm 25, there's a whole lot of teaching that goes on. In verse number 4, it was, God, teach me your path. In verse number 8, it was, God teaches sinners his in the way because he is good. In verse number 9, it says, and the humble he teaches his way. So here's what I would like to share with you right now. There are people that believe, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all good. People are inherently good, and because of that goodness, humanity is just going to continue to improve, and it's going to continue to get better, and it's just not true. It's just not true. Man is not inherently good because of the fall, because of our sin nature. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And so what I want you to see is that it is not innate for us to be good. It is innate for us to not even have a concept of what the truth is. That's where we are. You know, you don't have to teach a child to say no. You don't have to teach a child to say no to a person in authority. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to throw a tantrum. And there are, I mean, childish behaviors. Okay? But it's one thing for a baby to behave that way. It's another thing for an 80-year-old to behave that way, or a 40-year-old, or a 30-year-old, or a 20-year-old. Okay? And so instead of the philosophy, the sociological perspective that I'm okay and you're okay and we're just getting better, we need to realize that apart from God, I'm a sinner. Apart from God, so mankind is not getting better. Mankind is manifesting more depravity, because that's what is innate. I've got a friend, and he said, I was raised in a particular church, and they said, I'm okay and you're okay. And he said, but I knew I wasn't okay because I knew me. I was living in rebellion. And he went to another state. He encountered an Assembly of God church, and they said, you know, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, and we're going to split hell wide open unless we give our heart to Jesus. And he said, that transformed my life because I knew that what they said about me was true. But it wasn't just getting saved. God began to teach my friend in great, great ways. One of the smartest people that I know. Okay? It truly is. He is one of the smartest people that I know. He's a blessing to me. When I have a theological question that I'm wanting to make sure that, see, I don't just share things and say, well, you know, it came into my mind, so it must be true. That's not what I do at all. If there is something that comes into my spirit in my study as I'm preparing for a message, and I say things sometimes like this, I have never heard anybody say that before. I have never seen that before. I've never heard that before. Here's what I do. I pick up my phone and I call my friend and I said, can we talk? I want to make sure that I am not, I don't have any erroneous doctrine going on here. I want to make sure that this is sound doctrine before I go any further. So a person who knew at one point in time that they weren't right with God has been taught by God, who loves to teach sinners, and he loves to teach the humble, and he loves to teach them his way. His way. So it is not our way, it's God's way. We don't have to be taught how to rebel. We already know how to do that without any advanced classes whatsoever. We need to be taught how God does it, how his way is, because his ways are higher than man's ways. His thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. So let's go back. Verse number 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So when you look over there at Psalm 117, and you read that passage there, you're going to see his mercy. So here it is. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. There is a great connection between mercy and truth. I know a lot of people who their personality is such, I mean, they're in, have a relationship with Jesus, but they've got a different personality than what I've got. Nothing wrong with a different personality, but a lot of times the people that I'm talking about are not real compassionate. They don't show a lot of the being moved with compassion the way that Jesus did. And so I've made statements sometimes like this: the next act of mercy that person has in their life will be their first one. And again, my personality is not perfect. The world doesn't need more Bob Arthurs. The world needs more godly followers of Jesus Christ. But I do appreciate the gift of mercy because I've had mercy shown to me. Therefore, I show mercy. Mercy is my primary gifting. But at times, mercy needs to grab a partner. And the partner in Psalm 117 is the truth of the Lord endures forever. It's the partner that is in verse number 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So if God is going to lead you, if God is going to direct you and say, this is how you used to live life, this is how you're going to live life now, you're going to live life with this, with these two principles very high in your life. You are going to be a person of mercy, and you're going to be a person of truth. You're going to be a person who seeks truth. You're going to be a person who lives truth. You're going to be a person who speaks truth, who teaches truth, because that's how every single path of God operates. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So if you're going to seek truth in your life, you're going to have to seek the path that God has for you. And I've told you, all of this stems from the goodness of God. So I've told you about going through life and all of a sudden God interrupting me. I could, to this day, I could take you to the exact spot where God spoke to me and he said, I've been very good to you. And I said, yes, sir, you have. I can take you to that spot. And then he would say, if you had not said yes to my plan and my path for your life, you would have missed out on finding out that I can be better to you than you could ever be to yourself. Somebody may be listening right now and you think that God's path is not worth the headache. It's not worth the heartache. It's not worth the misery or the pain. But I want you to lift up your eyes back to the spiritual truth that God is good and upright. Therefore, he teaches. And every path that he has is a merciful path. And every path that he has is a path of truth. So I know a person right now in the throes of a very painful, life-altering situation. And the prayers that have been prayed have not been answered yet. And here is how they have chosen to approach this. They said, I've been through some painful things in my life, and God took that which was meant for evil, and he turned it around, and he transformed it into something good. And even though the path that I am on right now is not the path that I would have chosen, it's not going to prevent me from worshiping him, and it's not going to keep me from believing him, it's not going to keep me from serving him. And who knows, in God's mercy, he may be preparing me for something even greater through this than if I had ever gone through, if I'd not gone through this in the first place. You know what? You don't get to that place. You don't get to that point of spiritual maturity overnight. You don't get that by going to church one day and say, God, I know I've lived my life my entire life as a dirty, rotten sinner, but I expect to walk out of here today, with as much maturity and wisdom and insight as the people that have been walking with God for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that you can't catch up and that you can't pass them, because you most certainly can. But God takes us on a journey. He wants to teach us everything in a proper time frame. And so thank God for spiritual maturity. Thank God for wisdom. And if your path that you're on right now is not a path that's filled with mercy, and it's not a path that's filled with truth, change. Say, God, I'm evidently on the wrong path here. I need you to put me on the path that you would have. And it says this: He does that to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. So there is covenant there. Can you imagine the humility to know that the flawless, holy King of the universe wants to walk in covenant with you? What an amazing, amazing concept. Let's go on down. We're going to try and get through this today. Verse number 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. So here is the last concept of instruction and teaching that we're going to talk about from Psalm 25. And that is this: you get to a place where you've got to have a prerequisite to go on to more advanced classes. And in the realization that God is good, that and God is holy, and God is omnipotent and omniscient, and God is eternal, and He's omnipresent, He's right there with you right now. When you realize that He's there, He was there in your past, and He's here in your present, and He's going to be there in your future, You come to that place where you live in a reverential awe of God, not out of a terror that you want to, a terror so that you want to avoid the person, but with such an awe that you don't want to miss any time with Him. The fear of the Lord sets you up for a whole new class. Okay? I remember being in a restaurant one time, and there were two people there, a guy and a girl, and the gentleman was missing out on the entire opportunity to spend the morning with what I assume was the love of his life, because he had his nose buried in his cell phone. And I only say this because if it wasn't for Jesus, I could do the same thing. I mean, my phone gets church emails. My church gets personal emails. I can do work from my phone without being in my office. But when I get the opportunity to spend time with the woman that I love, I make her the priority. Now, I want to tell it to you this way. God gave His life for you. Let's not be so busy trying to deal with the distractions and the cares of this life that we fail to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's appreciate Him. Let's live in awe of who He is. Let's live in awe of His word, because with all of the people who have failed us, all of the people who've hurt us, all of the people who've abandoned us through the years, the one person who's never failed, who's never abandoned, is named Jesus. He's not to be avoided. He is to be lived in awe of. And that sets us up for Him to teach us in the way that He chooses. It says in verse number 14, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." You know, I remember about fourth grade, school changed. Up until that point in time, everything that was being taught were concrete words, you know, nouns and verbs and things that you could lay your hand on. But You know, at least when I was growing up, it was about fourth grade that they started transitioning you from dealing with only concrete things, that I started dealing with abstracts, thoughts, you know, feelings, emotions. How do you process this? It's not just 2 + 2. What do you do when this is added to the equation? How do you get to this answer? And there are a lot of people who do not transition well. They were phenomenal students when dealing with concretes, but when it transitioned to abstracts, a lot of times people get left behind. The same thing happens with all of these things that we have been seeing in Psalm 25 about God teaching people His way. If we're talking about God teaching a sinner and He's a friend of sinner, yes, we're good with that. We want to be taught not to sin. When it comes to humble, that's a little bit of a challenge for some people, because pride is so intense. It is so deceptive. But the real classwork begins when we recognize how incredibly awesome God is, that words will not suffice to describe His holiness, His goodness, His truth, His justice, His righteousness, His peace, His joy. Words, but when you've got to that, God says, class is in session now, and I'm getting ready to teach you things that you weren't prepared for me to teach you before. But now that you know that I'm good, that I'm righteous, and you're living in awe of me, class is getting ready to begin, and it's going to be amazing. Too many times we pass students on along who haven't learned the lessons that they need to prepare them for the next stage of learning. I want to encourage you, be thankful. Be thankful. Here on this last day of November, be thankful that God is good. And commit yourself to saying, you know what? I'm going to walk in awe of Him. I am going to walk in covenant with Him. And He's going to teach me things that I really need to know. And He really wants me to know. Bye-bye, November. December's on the way. And we're going to embrace it full on with the love of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Thank you for the